It's time for the fifth quarter with analysis, game stars, all-access locker room interviews, and more. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Masoli looking left, middle, pressure from the middle, dancing around. He's going to go down at midfield. Charbel was in there as a secondary effort. Roland Milligan. He's harking a pass on first and 15 across the middle. Diving catch by Braden Lenius at the 31-yard line. Lenius good for 18. Masoli looking left. Pressure up the middle and he goes down at the 32-yard line. How quick was that from Wreck-It Ralph? This from about 37. It's up. It's got the distance. It is good. The Ticats are first on the board. Masoli pours up to his right by Charbel. DeBeer complete to Dunbar at the 40, 45, 50-yard line before Ailey Buka makes the tackle. Still no touchdowns yet in this game. Blitz coming from the right side. Masoli throws into it in the flat for the touchdown. Don Jackson was wide open on the flat pattern because someone got destroyed. Nick Marshall got destroyed.
Yeah, and it should have been an offensive pass interference call.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to.
Looking left, and he's going to go down. Caught off that left edge. He thinks he's going to run away from Keon Adams. Oh, and there's pushing and shoving, and Mac Henry just bought two in the head. Yard line, it's up. And it's wide to the right, and it's out the back of the end zone. So the Riders make the stand on defense, and they get the missed field goal as well. Field Harker scrambles out to his right, gunning for Picton. That's picked off. Bad read, 35. Spinning back, 40. That one intercepted by Jamal Roll, and it is good as well. That's the final play of the half, and it makes the score Hamilton 14. And the Riders, no score. Acklin alone in the backfield. Evans looking for the end zone. He's going to scramble. Gunning low and complete for the touchdown. Brandon Banks is in the end zone. And the Ticats now lead 20-0.
Yeah.
This first and 20 play. Harker looking left. Gunning into a tight window. Picked off. And Delegate read it like a book at the 30. And he is down at the 26-yard line. From the 43-yard line, fake the handoff. Evans then gunning across the middle. Now looking, picked off. Ailey Buka hit it right in the hands. 35, 40. Buka cuts back at the 45-yard line. Intended for Tim White. They're wide open is McInnes at the 25 and 20. Stiff arm, 15. Run, Justin, down to the 8-yard line. Justin McInnes for 45 from Fine.
This is a fantastic play by Mason Fine.
And it is good. 125 remains. It's now Hamilton 24, Saskatchewan 3. Evans gunning corner out. Acklin good, 45, 50, 55. Cuts back into the field. And they say he stepped out of bounds. Maybe not the best way to go into a playoff game, but every play is another chance. Evans, straight drop under a five-man rush. Gunning across the middle. High end. Is that picked up by Buka again in the end zone? He's on the run. Made a man miss. Five. Ailey Buka again.
That is the postgame rewind brought to you by Westrum Lumber Timber Mart with locations in Assiniboia, Moose Jaw, Rolo, and Weyburn.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Final score, Riders on the short end of a 24-3 decision. They will finish the season at 9-5. They will host the West semifinal. The Calgary Stampeders will be in Saskatchewan a week tomorrow. Luke and I are in the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers, best in the bidding business. McDougalAuction.com. Luke, how much does today's game mean as you look forward to the game that actually matters, the West semifinal?
It means a lot. The lack of discipline was a little bit alarming. However, some of the guys that were guilty of the lack of discipline probably aren't going to be leaned on in that Western semi. You'll probably get Lanier and Micah back, obviously, right? But at the same time, there were leaders out here today that just didn't want to be here. And again, you need your leaders to step out and really lead from the front in games like this. Defensively, you saw the continual frustration of what is Nick Marshall, with a guy with so much ability who seems so disengaged at points in the game, and really makes himself look bad at times. That's a problem because, again, like you said with Zinger when we were coming back on the air, right? Like, Bagleton's walking in here, right? This team that they're about to see, they're gonna be challenging the Saskatchewan Roughriders vertically, especially if Jason Shivers elects to try to take away the first 5 yards of the game for Bo Levi Mitchell, like he's done the last couple times. They're gonna be challenged vertically, and they're gonna need to step up. You can't be out there just sort of with your head in the clouds. So that was tough to watch.
Can I throw you a Nick Marshall stat before we
before
you move on to your next one? Nick Marshall, Jamal Roll, the boundary cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. Jamal Roll, 54% completion against. Nick Marshall, 56% completion against. Those are decent numbers. Jamal Roll, 6.2 yards per target against. Nick Marshall, 11.1 yards per target against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just putting that up. Marshall allows big plays.
And again, you know, you don't want to focus on just one player right here because there were a lot of unfortunate sort of plays made today. But again, as a leader on the team, that the young guys see that. And if the young guys see a guy who's disengaged during the game, and if you approach practice the same way, right, like the young guys, they're like, oh, well, you know, he's starting, right? Like, is that the level of that? If that's all I've got to do to get on the field here in the Canadian Football League, I don't have to work as hard as I need to in the offseason, right? I can just do – I'll figure out what Nick Marshall does and just do what he does because he's a starter.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you got to be a leader in this point. And, again, in a game that on paper was meaningless, you've still got to come out here and you've still got to continue to build the momentum that you were trying to develop over the first 14 weeks. And Calgary walks into Mosaic Stadium, and Calgary, I'm willing to bet, is not one iota concerned about the Saskatchewan Roughriders and any phase of their game, except maybe special teams. I think that they see special teams as something that they need to at least be level on. But I think that the Calgary Stampeders probably see a lot of opportunity here against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And again, I think it's on both sides of the ball.
I'm trying to think of I'm running the special teams thing in my mind. Cody Grace, second best punter in the league this year, statistically. Rene Paredes, the best kicker in the league this year, statistically. Their cover teams were unbelievable in those three games against the Riders. They swallow you up so fast. It's going to be a challenge. It is an absolute coin flip next week.
No, it's not. It's not a coin flip.
Right now, the
Calgary Stampeders will be favored going into the game. And the Saskatchewan Roughriders are going to have a great week of practice, right? I would highly recommend not watching any of this film, right? Because
Agreed.
You just want to you want to flip on the Calgary tape right now, and you've got three examples to watch because you have three games in which you played Calgary, right? So focus on that, and maybe focus on the last meaningful game Calgary played also in the year, because that's who they're also going to try to be. So you've got four games on film right now that you're really going to focus on. But again, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and that's why I was so headstrong when I said that they shouldn't have been sitting Cody, because there wasn't the chemistry with the receivers and Cody to begin with. So to sit Cody strictly because you're worried that he might get hurt, I mean, you had your receivers out here today and you really missed an opportunity to continue to build, I think. And for the young offensive linemen, I think that it was just sort of a tidal wave of being overmatched very early on, right? Because again, we talked about the Hamilton Tiger Cats fielding their starting defense against Logan Ferland playing at center. Matlin Riley got some reps. Josiah St. John.
That was injuries, right? Clark with the ankle and Boyko with the calf injury. Is the report.
But at the same time, what I'm saying is you didn't get, and maybe that's probably why also it was good to not have Cody in there, because Cody would have been the guy under siege.
Yeah.
Right? So there is big positives to him not playing, but at the same time, you weren't even able to get a fair evaluation really on Isaac Harker. And then when he finally did start making plays, he was behind, and you could clearly see him pressing and making throws he shouldn't have, and it cost him. It cost him two interceptions. You get Mason Fine in here, and who knows what happened to Mason Fine. Hopefully he's not hurt, right? Hopefully it was just a scheduling thing where they said Mason Fine's going to play in the third, and that's it. So, again, you're going to have to really do a good job during the week of preparing for the Calgary Stampeders.
Let's go down to the locker room and welcome in the head coach, Craig Dixon. Craig, thanks for some time after this game, sir.
Yeah, you betcha.
What will you take away from this game?
Honestly, not very much. We didn't play very well. We had some guys that got hurt during the game, but you know, I think a few things stood out. I thought Mason Fine looked pretty well, looked pretty good, I should say, out there. I thought our defense fought hard, but it wasn't our best game, and you could tell. And we got tired, and we lost a few guys early, and I think it affected our mojo a little bit. So I'm not going to honestly spend a whole lot of time on this game other than just grade it and move on to Calgary.
Yeah, you mentioned Mason Fine. You guys go to Mason Fine in the third and then back to Isaac Harker. Was that always the plan?
Yeah, that was the plan. We wanted to give Mason about 15 reps. I don't know what he ended up getting, but he got two series, and I that was the deal. You know, we're going to try to get him 2 to 3 series and then and let Isaac finish the game, and so that's what we did.
You've only seen it live. What was your assessment of Isaac Harker today?
Well, I thought he tried hard, and I thought he showed some real moxie, but the reality was we didn't do a good job protecting for him, and excuse me, he got sacked too much, to be quite honest. He's got to get the ball out of his hand and not take those negative plays. But he's a competitor. He's going to try to make the perfect play every time, and it just wasn't his day out there today.
Ailey Buka with a couple of interceptions. I always enjoy Ailey Buka making plays out there, and he had a couple of interceptions in this game.
Yeah, it was good to see Ailey. You know, he's coming off a hamstring, and we weren't sure how healthy he was, but he looked good out there, and having a healthy Ailey Buka back there will definitely help our defense. So it's good to see him have a good game.
Yeah, is there anybody who you mentioned when we asked you in media this week, hey, you were looking forward to seeing the linebackers. You pointed to linebackers you're looking to see. Is there anybody who you went, oh, you know what? I like what he did today.
Well, both of them got hurt at some point in the game. So we lost Alvin Jones in the second quarter with a calf, and then Gary Johnson with a shoulder late in the game. So, you know, I thought Pinckney looked good at times. I thought Milligan, number 32, I think he's got a chance to be a good player. But those other two, you know, they got hurt too soon, and we weren't able to watch them do their thing like we'd hoped.
Yeah, Johnson ends up with 8 tackles, Milligan 6 tackles plus a sack. Of the three that got injured, because Ricardo Lewis all went out, do you believe any of them to be serious injuries?
Yeah, we're concerned about Ricardo. We think it's an Achilles injury. And so there's a good chance he's going to be gone. Gary's got a shoulder, and those are tough. You know, those don't come back right away. And then Mr. Jones there, Alvin Jones, he did a calf. So I don't think you'll see any one of those three up for this playoff game. It's just too short a turnaround. I think hopefully we'll get him rehabbed, and maybe we can get Gary back for the second one.
Yeah, when we watched Ricardo hop off the field on one leg, it did not look good, and an unfortunate continuing storyline for the Riders this season.
Yeah.
All right, we won't linger too much on this one, but what's the plan from here on in? What's the plan with Sunday against Calgary?
Yeah. Well, we're going to give the players a couple days off. We want them to, kind of get rejuvenated and rest. And we ask them to get in and get treatment if they need it. So they will do that. And then we'll just start rolling on Calgary. You know, we've seen Calgary 3 times this year. It wasn't that long ago that we played them. So we're familiar with Calgary. They're familiar with us. And, I told the group in the room there, hey, what matters now is our preparation for Calgary. So do everything you can this week, from eating well, sleeping well, and putting in a little extra time for Calgary so that when we get out there on Sunday that we can play our best game. Because I don't think we still have played our best game. So now would be a good time to do so.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Craig, I know you're going to do the general media next. You're going to be asked, is Paul McRoberts playing? So just put that out there. That question is coming for you. Will Paul McRoberts play? I know Ariel will have you prepped, but that one's coming, hey?
Yeah, I know. Everybody likes Paul. And we do too, by the way. And my first answer is, yes, Paul will be up this week.
Oh! Oh, it's going to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out of that tunnel, Coach.
All right. Craig, thank you. Appreciate you giving us some time. I can't wait to see what you guys put out there next Sunday.
Thank you, guys. You guys take care.
As the head coach, Craig Dickinson, Paul McRoberts will play.
Setting the expectations right off the bat. I love it.
I
I hadn't thought, I didn't want to think, and we appreciate Coach being with us. I hadn't wanted to think about what was Ricardo Lewis's injury, but when he said Achilles, watch the way he hopped off the field, you go, oh yeah, okay, that unfortunately makes sense. And that's,
well,
hurts.
Here's what's even worse, DT, in my opinion, as a former player, is that he popped his Achilles at the end of the year. So it's not like you rehab and get ready for training camp. That Achilles is a long-term injury.
That's all next season.
Yeah, it's your whole next season, and it's just really unfortunate for a guy who seemed to be, you know, trying to figure out his way in professional football, and those are unfortunately in instances like his is those could potentially be career ending just because of the, if it happened, you know, positive sign, like for instance Larry Dean, right? It happened at the beginning of the year. Chances are Larry Dean, whatever team he's playing on, could be ours, will be ready for next year's beginning of the year. But
yeah,
to pop it now, you're essentially looking at playing one season in the last four.
He had two lightning fast catches in this one. If he'd put up nine catches in this game, how that would have changed our conversations about Ricardo Lewis. Coach's post-game comments for Great Western Beer. Great tasting, refreshing beer, proudly brewed in Western Canada, using only the highest quality ingredients. Please enjoy responsibly. We'll break for SaskTel, Young's Equipment, Regina Plumbing and Heating, plus Sask Lotteries, Capital Auto Mall, and Borgo Industries. Plenty more from Hamilton when we return on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coach's comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
One team scored more points than the other. We don't need to talk about that too much. The Riders getting ready for next week, Sunday, and they host the Calgary Stampeders. Luke and I back in the broadcast booth. Isaac Harker. On the whole, throw out the numbers, 16 of 23 for 150, so 6 yards per attempt, no touchdowns, two picks. Craig Dickinson saying he did not have a lot of time to do stuff.
Zero time, and that's why I think he started pressing at the end there, and he ended up with those two picks, but I admire the guy. I like the way he attacks downfield, and obviously, right, as I said, it was going to be either boom or bust, and it ended up being a bust today, but hopefully Isaac Harker can just continue to work away, right? It's tough not getting the reps you want to as a quarterback for the season, right? And really getting excited about, you know, starting in the last game of the year. As much as you're excited, you can't help but sort of have that in the back of your mind. It's like, oh man, I need to perform, right?
Yeah.
It's the business that we chose, right? If I'm going to sit here and say you have to take advantage of the windows of and the opportunities that you do get, then it goes for everybody, right? And some guys just aren't given, you know, that second, third chance. That's why Brandon Bridge, it was so frustrating watching him as the Rider quarterback, because you saw a guy that was getting continued opportunities unlike anybody else was getting and not taking advantage of them. So you just hope that Isaac Harker continues to build. And also what you see is you see positives out of Mason Fine, right? And things that give Mason Fine a chance to be a quarterback in this league, either here in Saskatchewan or another team.
That full role for Mason Fine, where he completes the 45-yarder, Justin McInnes, that one's going to make people think about it for a while. So, yes, Harker, 6 yards per attempt, a couple of picks now, zero touchdowns, five interceptions in his career. He will almost certainly, it sounds like he came out of this game just fine and healthy. Harker will be back in his backup role for the West semifinal. Let's go to break for Bronc Beer, now available in Saskatchewan. Seedmaster and the Wireless Age, your SaskTel authorized dealer. The offensive and defensive stars of the game still to come on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Pride worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620CKRM.com.
6:19 p.m. post-game show continuing from Hamilton. Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender. We heard from Shaq Evans in the pregame show. Just wanted to focus. Just want to keep doing good things. Want to get right. Shaq finishing with 1-for-7 in the game. We'll talk about him in a moment. We welcome in our offensive star of the game, Mitchell Picton. 10 targets, 8 receptions for 52 yards. Mitch, thanks for joining us in the post-game show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
8 catches. That's honestly, that's a lot of work to put on one man. How are you doing?
I'm good. It felt good to get a few targets back in the game, and yeah, it's something that I've done before, and glad to see those targets tonight.
Well, I'm assuming university was the last time you had 10 targets and 8 catches in a game.
Yeah, back when my cousin was throwing me the ball, he used to get a little bit of love, so I think it was probably a bit back then.
What was this game like for you? Like, it meant nothing in the standings, and we kept talking about that. Hey, it doesn't mean anything to either team, but what was this game for you?
Honestly, it was the same as every other game. Anytime you strap on the pads and they roll the ball out there, you're just playing football. So, yeah, everyone was playing hard, and really it was just another game.
If you would, then assess the offense as a whole in this game for us.
We just really couldn't get anything going. I don't think it's really on any one group or anything like that. We just kind of had a slow night and just kind of struggled to get some production going. But, yeah, we'll watch the film, flush it, regroup, and be ready to go for Calgary.
You talk about, you know, flushing it and regrouping. What's the language like in the locker room? Is it an automatic transition to Calgary? Is it sort of I wish this would have gone better today? How does that work?
A little bit of both. Guys, obviously we left some plays on the field tonight that guys are kind of recognizing that would have been nice to make. But at the end of the day, we're still in the same spot and just kind of trying to flush it, like I said, and get ready for Calgary.
Yeah, what will be your focus ahead of this week? Do you just go back to those three games against Calgary on the tape?
Yeah, obviously we have quite a bit of film in that three-game stretch. So, yeah, we'll break all that down and come in with a solid game plan and be ready to go.
All right. If we saw Ricardo Lewis go down with injury, and to hear Coach Dickens say it's a serious injury, if your number's called for next week, how confident are you in making an impact in that game?
Oh, anytime I'm on the field, I'm confident that I can make plays and be productive. It's terrible to see Rick go down like that, but we feel like we have a deep receiver room, and whoever's number gets called is going to be ready to go and going to make some plays.
Yeah, unfortunately, that depth in all these rooms has been tested this season. To see another guy go down hurts, but Mitchell, it's great to see you get a lot of targets and have a nice performance. Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate you, and great game out there today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
He is Mitchell Pickton. He's our offensive star of the game. He got 10 targets, 8 receptions for 52 yards. A guy who Harker and Fine knew exactly where Mitch Pickton was this entire game. That was great to talk to him.
I love that he's, my cousin used to throw me the ball.
You would too, right? Well, and that's the thing. Like, that's a university game for him, right? Like, 10 targets.
Was
probably what he was used to. And we get to the pros, you lose that because the pros are a different sport, essentially. But great for him to have it.
In order to get the targets, A, you've got to know the playbook. B, the quarterback and coaching staff have to trust you to be in the right spot. And that's what I really enjoy about Mitch Pickton, is that it was his IQ that always stuck out from literally the day of his first training camp. You could tell this guy understood the game a lot more just by the routes he would run in practice. And I love when a guy like that goes out there, handles his business, doesn't get as many targets as he wants, obviously, throughout the year. But when the opportunity, again, presents itself, goes and makes plays, again, he needs to continue doing that. And eventually for Mitch Pickton, I really do believe that Mitch Pickton's going to be an every down guy eventually in this league, if he continues to just honor the game, respect the work it takes, and down his path, I really believe either for this team or some other team, he can be an everyday guy.
Absolutely. So in the lineup, out of the lineup, back in the lineup today, and rewards him with a pretty nice performance. Lucky enough to have our defensive star of the game as well. 2 interceptions. Ailey Buca. Ailey, thanks for your time in the post-game show, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Let me start off with this. How on earth did you make that second interception? My goodness.
I was just reading the quarterback, and when I saw the ball coming, I got closer and closer, and I just saw the ball. The ball was going down, so I was just trying to jump, trying to catch the ball, and the ball came in my hands. But I was just trying to read the quarterback there. But, I've been blessed also with that one.
That was receiver level, cradling the ball and keeping it off the ground, though. I think it might have touched the ground, but we're not telling anybody that.
It did it. You know, I played receiver in my college days too, right? So I can catch the ball.
That was a heck of a play. If you would, what was this game like for you?
You know, for me, I missed a few games due to a little tweaks here and there. You know, for me, it was even though this game, we already secured, a home playoff game. This game meant a lot for me. You know, it was a lot of ups and downs, through my career, and being able to get my starter safety coming back, missing a few weeks and coming back and making plays for my teammates. It means a lot, and I'm happy to be there with them, and I look forward to the playoffs.
There was an injury that happened in the game. It looked like you were ready to go to field cornerback. You were ready if you were going to get called on.
Yeah, for me, if you guys look, I'm kind of the guy that get bounced around. I played field half, field corner, yep. Safety. So I think Coach Shives trusts me that I can play all these positions. And, whenever a guy comes down, that's the kind of the role I played in 19. And, I'm kind of the Swiss Army knife. So wherever they need me to go, I know the system and I can play wherever they need me to.
What's your favorite spot out of all those that you play?
That's a good question. I've had a lot of season-ending injuries and I miss a lot of football. So wherever I get a chance to play, I'll play. I know I can play safety. I know I can play half. I can play corner. So, to be honest, I'm just grateful to play football. So wherever they need me, wherever the team needs me, I'll be grateful and they'll get everything from me.
Sam, linebacker, defensive end, boundary slot back, whatever you got in there?
Whatever you got. It's football at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'd like to see Ailey Book off the edge now that we're talking about it. Let's get him in some pass rush situations with AC.
That's right.
Absolutely. Ailey, hamstring injury. It's been a hamstring injury that's foiled you late in the season. How is it? How is your recovery?
It was good. It was a first degree hamstring pull. It was very minor, but and I came back into practice and retweaked it, so that's why it took so long. Just sometimes, that's sometimes these things happen and hamstring can be sensitive, so that's why it took so long. So, I'm back now, hamstring feeling great. Played the whole game, didn't feel anything at all. So, body feels great, right on time for playoffs.
I feel like, and by all means, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like those have to be annoying injuries to a professional athlete. How do you get through that when it reappears, like the mental part of getting through an injury like that?
Yeah, personally, if you follow me through my career, I came back from season-ending injuries. I tore both of my Achilles. So for me, the patience. I've learned to have patience. For me, that was just a little bump on the road. I have a lot of resilience, and I was just ready to get my opportunity. And I'm grateful that the coaches gave me my opportunity to play.
Yeah, and you absolutely rewarded them with a couple of interceptions in this one. You stole one away from Brian Burnham in 2019. All you do is make big plays when you're out there. Shivers should know this. Play this tape for Jason Shivers. Ailey Buka makes big plays.
No, and kudos to him. Jason Shivers always, Coach Shivers always, from the beginning, obviously sometimes, you go some teams and some teams have, Canadian spots, from the beginning, Shivers trust me in any position and give me a lot of opportunities to showcase what I can do. And, I know I can play a lot of different positions out there and, getting the experience and all these different spots give me the confidence when I get on the field, I can make those plays.
Ailey Buka, two tackles and two interceptions in this game. Ailey, thank you for the time. Looking forward to seeing you. Hopefully you're in the lineup for the game against Calgary as the playoffs are upon us. How do you feel about this team, this defense, going into the playoff game?
We got a great defense. I think that we got a lot of guys that love playing with each other, and we got a great system, got great coaches. I think that all we need to do is continue to plug in and limit these little mistakes, no mistakes, and all these little penalties that comes and bite us in the butt, in critical situation. And I think that if we do that, we get back to playing Riders football. I think we we'll be back here in a few weeks.
Love it. Ailey, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you very much.
Riders safety Ailey Buka with us. in the post-game show. All our game stars brought to you by Go Grain, the new app that lets farmers book and track grain trucking right from their phone. Download today at gograin.ca. So Mitchell Picton and Ailey Buka, and I say that because I'm writing them down, as you should be writing them down, and be listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Michael Ball. It's your chance to win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. We'll go to break for Redhead Equipment, Nutrient Ag Solutions, SGI Take Care Out There, and spreads.ca. Back with more of the fifth quarter post-game show on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Ailey Buka, Mitch Picton, two guys deserving of some love in this game. There are more than a few as well. Jamal Morrow, decent game, 9 carries for 41 yards, plus he added 3 catches for 29 yards, so 70 yards from scrimmage. Gary Johnson, 8 tackles, a guy who's all over the field. As Coach Dickinson said, a shoulder injury, and the way he spoke of those injuries doesn't give me a great deal of confidence. Roland Milligan was a guy whose name you said a couple of times.
Yeah.
A guy who just joined the team in October. Had a little pop in this game. It was nice.
Yeah, I thought he played well. And again, he's a guy that's bounced around a little bit in the NFL before he got to Saskatchewan. And one of the last signings of the year for Jeremy O'Day and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And I think that we need to refocus on sort of O'Day's comments this year at the beginning of the year. Because O'Day said, you know, anybody you're going to bring into the team during the season, you're going to have to be pretty committed to in terms of playing because of the quarantine rules and the way you've got to. So for them to bring him in at the last minute here this year and put him on the field and for him to sort of just to go out and play the way he did, again, I think it's a guy who's going to make things interesting. And he also seems like a guy who can play a number of spots, not just that strong side backer spot. I think that they put him in the strong side backer spot because that's the natural position, but it seems like he can play a couple of those spots on that D.
5'11", 200 pounds, the first-year man out of Toledo. That strong side backer spot is, I mean, it's open for business, mm-hmm. right? They've had injuries in those spots. The rest of the back six seems to be pretty well set, but yeah, Roland Milligan, a guy who absolutely put up some nice film, as Luke likes to say, film. We're never going to get off it. Like, for guys like you and my age, we tape things, and things are on film, right? Like, we're never...
It's going to be called film. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I don't record shows, the way these I tape
guys,
them.
Eventually, the way these guys watch film, they're just gonna put two probes on their temples, and they're just going to download it, the film knowledge, into their brains. So it's going to take, like, literally 2 minutes to study film in professional football in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
And it'll still be called film. It will not be called knowledge transfer. It'll not be called, right? Like, it'll be
neural
called
osmosis, yeah, of neural the Calgary osmosis. Games.
All right, guys, we're going to download the game here into our brains. Everybody put their probes on. you know, Mac, have you downloaded the new app? We're tired of asking you, Mac, to download the new app to watch film.
And Coach, I'm not good with the technology.
I don't have the data plan. I need to go. Right, so yeah, anyways.
Let's go to break for Battery Depot by CAA, AgCo, the tap, and spreads.ca. Plenty of fun still to come from Hamilton on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coach's comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
636, as the post-game show continues here from Hamilton, Mr. Saskatoon Luke Mullender with us. The Langley Rams, 17-14 winners over the Saskatoon Hilltops. For the first time, the entire 2010s, the national title was won by teams from Saskatchewan.
Hold on. Don't say teams from Saskatchewan.
Okay,
It was won by the one team in Saskatchewan.
9 were won by the Hilltops. 1 was won by the Thunder. They split the titles between them in Saskatchewan. A team from outside Saskatchewan will win the national title in juniors this year. That's
Bush League. Well, I don't like it.
No, titles need to be in Saskatchewan. But congrats to the Langley Rams. Congrats to the Hilltops on a fantastic season. They lost
the
twice in the regular
young
season,
too, which is even worse. Is they're a younger team, so it's just, yeah. I really feel like it was a missed opportunity. This was the year the CGFL could have taken advantage of the Hilltops, and it didn't happen.
They beat them twice in the regular season. Did the
I'm not
Thunder.
Talking about just the Thunder. I'm talking about the whole.
I know. League, I feel you.
Right.
I feel, well, we're gonna get a new new champion. Either the Langley Rams.
We better be careful. There's gonna be people complaining that we're slagging the RMF for some reason.
If it's a team from Ontario, that would be a remarkable. I have no idea what's in Ontario for junior football this season, but they're just naturally understaffed for this. They have younger players. Blah blah blah. Wow, that is a shocker. The Langley Rams are out. The Saskatchewan Huskies are in. They were down 16-2 in their game against Manitoba and then outscored them 43-1 the rest of the way. And the Huskies are on to the Final Four in U Sports. You mentioned you wanted to see Cody Fajardo in this game. We didn't get Fajardo in this game. It was Isaac Harker. On a scale of 1 to, I don't know, 7, how confident are you in Fajardo and this offense going into the game against Calgary? How confident are you, better to phrase it, how confident you will be at they will be at their peak game against Calgary?
I don't think they'll be at their peak by any stretch. Here's the thing. I mean, I wanted Cody to play, but, I mean, seeing the offensive line, right, and the way they struggled with guys in different spots, I mean, we wouldn't have seen anything out of Cody today either. Right, like it would have just been him under pressure, right, and him under siege when it came to throwing the ball. So I do think that there's a chance that they play well. Again, I think that they can tinker this offense a little bit. I mean, we saw it a little bit more today, right? The run pass option look sort of emerging more consistently for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I really think that against Calgary and Winnipeg, if you make that part of your attack, and the problem is though. The problem is, though, is that it's also going to have to be coupled with effective run game, right? Because eventually, if you keep RPO in it,
but you're
killing the running back every time you do run. Everybody stops respecting the run pass option, right? So you got to. But again, I think that there's way to tinker with this offense to really get the most out of Cody Fajardo's skill set, and I think that in the playoffs, you let him use his feet a little bit more because it's what he's comfortable in doing, right? And you tell him, hey, the guys you feel comfortable with throwing, like let's go and devise a scheme around that.
Can't wait to see it. It's Sunday. It'll be.
I'm jacked up, man. I'm really jacked up, and it's not. I'm not going to talk negative about it because, again, I think that there's already a certain amount of negative self-talk existing in this locker room for some reason, and you can't have it, right? Like I talked about Shaq's negative self-talk and the way he sort of positions his season as a missed opportunity versus the opportunities that are still out there. And today, I really felt like that negative self-talk. It was. The culmination of him having a perfect one-on-one jump ball in the end zone and him bobbling it is just, that's what happens when you just convince yourself that your feet aren't underneath or your, you know what I mean?
I don't do so much because that's a play that's completed. We think about, well, to throw a jump ball in the end zone, it's completed
hey, DT.
35% of the time.
DT.
30% of the DT. Time. Hit me.
You line up those receivers and you tell me which one's the highest paid guy.
Oh, Shaq Evans.
Okay, then. Guess what? Why is that though?
But
why? Hold on. Answer the question. Why is that?
Oh, because he's the best player. He's the
best
player.
No, because he was making those catches. That's why he got that contract. Because he was making those catches
30% of the time.
Hey, listen.
Jump ball is not a great play.
Shaq needs to understand that he's still one of their elite wide receivers, and the way he talks about his season isn't conducive to having success. He can't continually talk himself out of having success. That's what I'm saying. All of the times he references, it's just been a tough... Because none of it makes sense again, right? You see Duke Williams stepping in there and having chemistry with Cody right away. You see Kean Schaefer-Baker and Lennius building with Cody to start training camp. It's not something that just because you miss 8 games, all your chemistry fell apart. No, it's that you're out there and again... The way you present yourself and what you're telling yourself in your head is a big part of it. Shaq is still an elite receiver in this league, and they're really going to need him against Calgary.
And if he wanted to get right in advance of this game, one reception for 7 yards.
It just sort of it encourages the other way, right? Today's game is going to do nothing for the fact that he is talking himself out of things.
The right at the top, you heard the post-game rewind. It's brought to you by Western Lumber Timber Mart with locations in Assiniboia, Moose Jaw, Rollo, and Weyburn. One more segment from us from Hamilton, where the Riders come up a little bit short in this game. They finished the season at 9-5, but still hosting a playoff game, and that will be all that matters. We're back after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Thanks to our friends at Young's Equipment, Sask Lotteries, the Cooperators. See Kirsty Moss and her team in Regina, Redhead Equipment, and Wood River Controls. The next time you hear from Luke and I, well, it'll be Monday on the Sports Cage, obviously. But after that, Sunday afternoon. What better way to spend a Sunday than watching the Saskatchewan Rough Riders crush the Calgary Stampeders?
It's going to be a tough game.
It's
going to, again, Calgary's coming in hot. Well, not hot, but Calgary's coming in. I think they've really realized just sort of how they can have success as a team. I think the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are still trying to find it. I think that, but again, it's the playoffs now. All of that, none of that matters anymore. Let's just go and find a way to win. And that's probably one of the more positive aspects about these last five games, is that they haven't been pretty. They've been gritty, they've been resilient, and they've had to scrape wins together. And in the playoffs, you're going to have to scrape a win together. Nobody comes and just runs over teams in the playoffs. So this team is used to playing in close games, and I would expect Calgary to be a close game. And I think that, as the old saying goes, defense wins championships. I think that we're okay in that aspect, so you got a chance.
We'll talk about this Monday. Are we, though? Are we okay in that? Because this Hamilton team walked up and down the field against the Riders, and if not for Ailey Buka's two interceptions, what might have been in this
DT,
game?
No more looking in the rearview mirror.
We're just, it's on to Cincinnati, as a wise man once. It's on to Regina against Calgary. Thank you so much for being with us. Hopefully you enjoyed the game. It wasn't the Riders' best performance of the year, but we got to see some shining lights and perhaps some new faces, ones that may factor in to that game next week against the Stampeders. Please stick around. The Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Michael Ball is next. You name for him the stars of the game, and you could win yourself a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. For Luke Mullender, I'm Derek Taylor. Thank you so much for being with us. Riders football on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.